Thesaurus, the new short podcast of news and politics and music and yelling by me, Jake Sexton. As many of you know, I do a regular semi-weekly, usually weekly radio show called Lying Media Bastards. 2 hours of music and commentary and sarcasm and sneering and weeping and so on. Rantosaurus is my new attempt to do a short version of a show for those weeks when I don't have time to assemble 2 hours of radio. Now, did you hear? That little theme song I did? I have no idea if it's any good or if I'll use it again, but a band called Rusted Shut and Real Live Dinosaurs. Real Live Dinosaur roaring at the end. How did I get a live dinosaur? That's for me to know, you not to know. Now, I'm going to play a little... I think the format for today's show is going to be... I do the intro, I play a song, I yell about something, I play another song, and we're done. We're out. I'll talk for maybe 10 minutes or something. I don't know, I'm just making this up as I go along. Also, if you're looking at this, I have a logo. I made a little logo for the show. I'm happy with it. It's a little dinosaur, and he's a little cartoon dinosaur, and he's in a pool of water, and he's yelling. It's on the website, lyingmediabastards.com, which, for now anyway, will be the home of Rantosaurus. And, yeah, but today, a big portion of the show is going to be about Congress, the war in Iraq, and their vote. The Democrats, who have talked so much about opposing the war and opposing the Bush administration and their plans and blah, 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 they go ahead and vote to give full funding with no timetables to the war effort, which means that we're no closer to ending this war than we were before any of the Democrats took power. Which is lovely. So in honor of that, I think the song number one on today's show is going to be a song by Ministry, a song called Thieves, which is all about the people in power, of course, thieving, criminaling, fucking bastard. But then this will be the live version of the song from Ministry's In Case You Didn't Feel Like Showing Up album. So let's go.
Let's go.
Few months, the now democratically controlled Congress passed a bill to fund the Iraq War, which would include timetables for when the troops would be forced to be sent home, be taken out of Iraq. This is, I suppose, a timetable for when the troops were supposed to leave is better than simply ending the war or bringing them home now or cutting funding now, but still not ideal. Of course, the president said, "I won't sign that. You gotta send me a clean bill." And so there was much debate amongst the Democrats. What do we do now? And their response, their final answer, was to send this bill to the president with no timetables whatsoever. So they are paying money to continue the Iraq War so that the U.S. soldiers can stay there, away from their homes and families, and risk their lives in Iraq, and to kill Iraqis. So the war continues on. Zero progress was made, even though everybody's pretty clear that the Democrats were voted into Congress this time because people are tired of the Iraq War and want it to stop. But on top of that, the polls show that something like 64% of Americans wanted a timetable put into the bill. I think a very small percentage of Americans actually wanted the Democrats to defund the war, which is a scary term, which is being misunderstood. Defunding the war would simply mean that, no, we would not pay more money for it. But somehow it has this image in the minds of people that somehow the U.S. troops in their bases in Iraq are certainly going to be starving and their clothes will be in tatters and they'll have to find their own way home. No, of course not. If any reasonable leader, which of course we don't have, a reasonable leader of war would say, we don't have any more money to keep on going with this war. Guess we gotta bring everybody home. But no, somehow it's in the minds of many Americans, this would be stabbing the troops in the back, defunding the war. And it would be forcing them to sell pencils or put a hold-up cardboard sign saying, "We'll kill innocent people for food." But, so that's a big kick in the pants. The Democrats went ahead and did that for, one, they're going against the popular opinion of the country. They're going against their constituents who voted them into office this time. They're voting alongside a president with an approval rating of like 30%. A lot of folks sort of felt like there was a little bit of a democracy revival that came through in November. And, of course, that was silly. And the Democrats are too afraid that they will be called names, that somebody will accuse them of not supporting the troops, or that they're soft on terrorism. If they didn't choose to fund the war with in the way that Bush wanted them to. Of course, they could have just kept putting the same bill forward, saying, "Here's a timetable, here's your money for the troops, take it or leave it. Oh, you didn't like it. Okay, here you go, here's the money for the war, here's the timetable for the troops to withdraw. Oh, you don't like it? I guess we better send it to you again." Granted, I don't know if that would have helped anything, and then it would have been a PR battle over whose fault it was. The troops were not getting their funds. Is it Bush's fault for not signing the bill? Is the Democrats' fault for not for insisting on timetables? But honestly, I think the American folks were to be on the side of the Democrats here, but no. Cowardly fools who were afraid that they were going to get this would hurt their re-election chances. And granted, Americans they seem to have pretty malleable minds. You know, you get enough of an advertising campaign going, and suddenly they all think that Saddam Hussein's behind 9/11. They think that Osama bin Laden is poisoning their toothpaste, and that terrorism is behind every corner, and that illegal immigrants are gonna steal their children away and take their jobs and make everyone gay, or something. But that's what makes me so mad in all this, is that the popular will is behind them, but the Democrat, any of the politicians here who are in Congress who could have voted for this bill alongside what poll results tell them people want, they said no because of this fear about re-election, about being criticized, and leaving themselves open to political attack. Because I don't care if these guys get re-elected. If this is the sort of job they're going to do, well, I don't care if they get reelected anyway. I mean, it's you know, Congress is what, 535 mostly rich white men who got law degrees or businesses or, you know, multi-million dollar bank accounts, stock holdings, they're CEOs, they own big companies, they own multiple homes. They're going to be okay if they don't get reelected. It's not like saying that, you know, the guy down at the Burger King doesn't get reelected to his job working the counter, and therefore he doesn't have enough money to feed his family or pay his rent. No. These congressmen are gonna be okay if they lose their jobs. But no, they want those jobs too much, too comfortable, and because of that, they say, yeah, let's keep throwing American corpses into Iraq. Maybe they'll hit some more Iraqis and be a big, that doesn't make sense. But no, instead of voting to take steps to end this war, they say, hey, let's just throw more American troops in there and let them turn into corpses and kill more Iraqis and make more people in the Middle Eastern world hate us, increase the chances of terrorism, spend more American money, and keep the National Guard and resources away from the home disasters that we've had here, like Katrina and that those tornadoes that happened recently and all that. So, lovely. What also pisses me off here is that there's been some very brave activists in this country and in other countries who actually, you know, as they say, you know, put their bodies into the gears. They, you know, they said, this war is terrible and immoral and hurting people. I'm going to physically risk my body and my freedom, you know, by risking being arrested to physically stop these wars from taking place. You know, there was, I remember, in Ireland. Back in August, there were some folks who, I was a little puzzled about what exactly they did, but the Derry Anti-War Coalition, they took over the office of a local Raytheon business. Raytheon is, I think they make guided missiles. And they went in there and they took over the office, and then they, according to the occupiers there, the activists, they decommissioned vital equipment at the Raytheon factory. I'm not quite sure what that means. If decommissioned equipment means, you know, we took the factories offline, or if it means, you know, we unplugged all the computer monitors. I'm not sure which. But, you know, of course, that's the physically. They tried to get in the way of the war by going into this company that makes war materials and trying to stop them. Also, in this past year or two, we've had resistance from folks in Olympia and Tacoma. At the ports, they've been trying to shut. They've been trying to prevent the shipping of military equipment in and out through the ports of Olympia and Tacoma. And then, of course, you have the whole counter-recruitment movement, which, in a lot of ways, is about trying to physically stop there from being new soldiers recruited and sent out to fight in the war. So what was driving me crazy that there's these people who are taking all this time and money and you know, their own resources, their own efforts, their own risking their bodies and freedom to try to stop this war from taking place. And in one, you know, one pen stroke, by raising their hand and saying aye, all these Democrats could have done more than all of these brave activists without the means, without the resources to fully stop the war. The congressmen could have fully stopped the war by saying, hey, we're not going to spend a goddamn penny more on this. So then you get the multiple questions that come from this. Did the Democrats ever really oppose the war, or was this always a plan to just sort of score some short-term political points off of the Republicans, off of President Bush's, you know, unpopularity? Is the U.S. going to leave Iraq at all? You know, we've been seeing some news articles lately about a tremendously huge embassy, the U.S. embassy being built in Baghdad. That sounds like it's, you know, I don't have the numbers on it, but it sounds like it's, you know, bigger than Washington, D.C. almost. I'll have to double-check that number. But, so, I mean, if they're building this huge fortified embassy, perhaps that means that's the place where they're going to put troops. They're going to keep some significant number of U.S. troops and leave them in Baghdad. Maybe it means maybe the Congress agreed to this because they're still waiting on this oil law from Iraq. They're still waiting for the Iraqi parliament to sign this bill that will allow them to make deals with foreign oil companies, which will, of course, make many folks in the White House very happy and very wealthy. And then I'm seeing from both sides of the aisle is that the whole, we're seeing the blame the Iraqis model. We're seeing the, the Iraqi parliament is taking a long vacation and I'm outraged. Oh, come on. What can the Iraqi government do? They don't have the funding, they don't have the the prime minister is fully dependent on Muqtada al-Sadr, who runs the main Shia militias. It's just insane to be expecting the Iraqi government to be solving its own problems. They don't have there's chaos, they don't have the money, they don't have the military, they don't have they're thoroughly infiltrated by the militias. This seems to be sort of the most politically expedient, most politically beneficial way for all of the American politicians to handle this, is to say, well, we don't want to leave Iraq, and we want to help the Iraqi people, and we want to support the troops, but goddamn those Iraqis, our patience is limited. We tore their country to pieces, and goddamn it, they're not grateful enough to be putting in the effort to let us pull our troops out. Nice. I think as one anonymous Iraqi journalist said, that, you know, what do the Americans want? They want us to say, sorry that our flesh has hurt your knives. And it's all very depressing. Of course, and then the latest Republican rhetoric that's been coming out is that if we pull out of Iraq, the terrorists will follow us home. It's not like they don't know where we are. You look on any world map, there's the United States. They know where we are. They know how to get there. But they are enjoying the public relations that comes with it. That they're making the omnipotent American military, making us look very weak. The fact that the U.S. can't even secure one capital city of one country. They are trying to prove that all of their previous rhetoric was right. Oh, look, the Americans, they want to take us over. They want to occupy us like the Israelis. Look, we got these American occupiers in the country killing innocent people, and they even built a wall through Baghdad, like the wall they've got in Palestine. My God, the Americans want to make us all their slaves. You know, it's not going so well. So, I don't even know what to say now. It's a terrible situation. All I can say is that if these Democrats actually do oppose this war, and if they really are telling the truth, oh, we just didn't have the votes for this particular bill, okay, I'll give you that for a second. Maybe that's true. The next thing they do, and they better be gearing up to actually put some end-of-the-war legislation out. Okay, fine. You funded the war, and you didn't put in the timetables. Get some fucking timetables going. And maybe we all got to put a little pressure on them. Maybe you all ought to be writing and calling your congressmen and writing your newspaper and trying to get editorials in and I don't know what. Jeez, the policy has like 60-something percent approval. Get us out of Iraq. And that's not enough political cover for the Democrats to vote on these bills. So, I do not know what to tell you. Okay, gonna end this podcast playing two little songs. One is a speedy hardcore number by a band called Combat Wounded Veteran, a song called Eat More Blood Money. And then that one will be done lightning quick, and we'll get a longer, more thought-provoking one called America by the Au Pairs. It's about America, believe it or not, and how we kind of suck. Anyhow, thanks for listening to this first Rantosaurus podcast. If you want to email me about it, write to lmbradio@gmail.com. And as always, you can see more of my writing and radio on my website, lyingmediabastards.com.
Let's go.
Yeah, let's get 'em.
Ladies and gentlemen, the revolution.